This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. It's comedy's biggest night. You are a producer. You've been running around. You're helping out with Netflix is a joke. It's a whole big thing going all over Los Angeles. But tonight is the night. It is the roast of Tom Brady. And you're juggling so many different personalities. You've got Bert Kreischer. You've got Matt Light.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Matt Light. You've got Donovan Smith, Randy Moss, Julian Edelman, Nikki Glaser, the king of the roasts, Jeffrey Ross, and your host, Kevin Hart. And you've got so many things you have to do. The biggest thing is all these guests have no nose. Now, in the world of roasts, we call that things that you're not allowed to touch. You don't know me. I've been producing these roasts for a long time. Years back on the Donald Trump roast, the one thing that you could not roast him about was how much money he actually had. You had to play up the image that he was mega rich. Anyway.
Which he is.
Anyhow, you show up to the forum and you've got to go around and get everybody's no-nos. So you start off with Danny Amendola. Danny, hi. No-nos. I need them fast. We're running out of time.
All right. You have to maintain the idea that I'm from Texas.
Okay, but like
have people knowing the truth that I'm a fancy boy fop from England.
Okay, well, I guess if the audience doesn't know that to begin with, it's kind of a weird thing to roast you on.
Exactly. The jokes won't land.
Okay, good. So you're just looking out for the comedy.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm not ashamed of it.
Okay, great. Great, thank you. Okay, cool. Okay, no-no for Danny Amendola is don't bring up that I'm British. Great, got it. Cool. Next up, we go to Rodney Harrison. Rodney, do you have any no-nos?
Yeah, you have maintained that I'm from Texas.
Okay, I don't even know if that's what your public persona is.
Just say it. Say me from Texas.
Okay, great. Got it. Then you show up, you've got Randy Moss. You say, Randy, what is your no-no?
Want to maintain the image that I am man of people and that at no point have I been mixed in with controversy over 2016 election.
Okay.
Please just keep me away from the hot button. I still have ESPN contract to...
All right, Randy, that's fine.
Maybe drop your attitude a little.
Randy, it's me, Rodney.
Oh, Rodney.
Me remember you from Texas.
That's right. Of course, I remember you. Yes, we play a lot of Texas ball over there. Yes. Where you're originally from. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Randy, everyone knows that you're from West Virginia. If we go up there and tell everyone that you're from Texas, it's going to be...
No, I'm not. I am not from...
Okay.
No, I am not from Russia.
No, we... Great. Okay, fine.
Me not from Russia either.
Also, more I talk about it, yes, make sure nobody think I'm from Texas either.
Okay, no one's going to think you're from Texas.
You know what? Don't even bring up nationality for any roasters. Might be like quick way to sweep through this.
Yeah. Okay,
Nikki Glaser agrees with it.
Oh, great.
Nikki Glaser, you agree?
Yeah, I don't want people knowing where I'm bloody from.
That you're an Irishman?
Yeah, that I'm from Belfast.
Okay, all right, Nikki.
I want them all thinking I'm from Texas.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
We should maybe all be from Texas.
Okay, everyone's fine. Fine. Everyone's from fucking Texas.
Maybe
great.
Call the roast. Don't mess with Texas.
The roast. We're not going to change the name of it.
It's tonight.
That's really great.
No, Rodney, it's tonight.
That way, nobody will know that I'm really from Transylvania.
That's right.
Guys, we're not changing the name of the roast to Don't Mess with Texas.
The post, it's a decision for post. So I feel like you're.
If we're going on live.
Well, still, post. Okay, whatever. You know best. I just, yeah.
Yes, make sure they don't talk about Rodney being a vampire.
Okay, we're not going
to. Matey.
If you look at the tapes, you'll notice he could only get into the backfield if he was invited.
Playback tape of his career. I believe he vampired it.
It's so weird how, after all those years.
Matey. May one suck your blood, mate.
I thought that was going to end different for a moment.
May one suck your blood.
So you get caught up in all this bullshit all right. for a long, long time. You can't fucking escape it. They won't let you leave the room. They're like needing reassurance after reassurance that you're not going to let anyone mention that they're not from Texas. And you tell them every time it's going to be fine. No one's going to mention that you guys are not from Texas. And so then you're like scrambling to try to get everyone else's no-nos and you miss one big one that... Robert Kraft has a big no-no when it comes to the massage parlor jokes. And just as Jeffrey Ross is about to make a very fairly innocent joke as far as roasts go, Robert Kraft's assistant sprints over to you to try to give you a last-minute no-no. Who would like to be that assistant?
Hi. So I just want to make sure you know that... Robert is really excited to be raked over the coals because it humanizes him, which we don't get an opportunity to do very often.
Sure, he looks so human.
Well, he's a little guy. So the only thing that we're, you know, I don't know if you even remember this little story. A few years ago, there was a raid on a massage parlor where he was getting a completely standard, regular massage.
Okay.
From an Asian woman. That's irrelevant. Why bring race into it is what I always ask people when I'm talking to them. It's not a race thing. She was Asian. They were all Asian. It was a massage parlor. One of
great.
Those. Yep. So he's getting lower back stuff done and lower front stuff done. Mm. And there were some cameras rolling. Do you even remember this little? It was a blip.
I do know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Macaroni and cheese.
Kraft.
Yeah.
So he was in there. And the police raided the establishment because I guess they were known for not just shiatsu and cupping and lower back and lower front. But some of the men would go in there and they would like to have, I think, what they call a big finish or a big finale. Or
big finale.
Something like that.
Sure.
Happy
ending.
Again, you seem to know more than I do or Robert does, which is fine. We don't judge. But some people thought Robert was in there getting one of those, and he wasn't.
And there was no videotape of him actually receiving
There's it? Video, but there's two things. And a lot of people are... It's sort of like the Sasquatch footage. We're not sure what we're looking at. It could have been him. But either way, the guy who looks like he's
that's
getting...
That's what the Sasquatch footage is like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, if you look closely, the Sasquatch looks like he's getting jerked off, but he's just walking behind a tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, some people made the weird connection that they thought that Robert was potentially getting some sort of sexual thing. Mm. Again, he loves a lower front massage right on the pubis. which is where he holds a lot of tension. I mean, the guy, you know, he's been atop the mountain of football for two decades. So we just want to make sure nobody brings that up. Everything else is fair game, except for his hair.
Okay.
Yeah, so just nothing about that.
Okay, but we'll make fun of his haircut. And during all of this, you've missed Jeffrey Ross's roast.
And for my final joke.
Oh, no.
Mr. Robert Kraft. Give him a hand, everybody. Give him a hand.
Yeah!
I love that cheese.
Atop the football mountain for two decades, and yet doesn't have any cum in his body because he gets jacked off by Asian women.
Oh my God.
Woo!
I know.
Oh God.
Okay.
Am I right, Tom?
Hey, man, don't fucking say that shit.
Fuck you, Tom. Who are you? you don't tell me what to do. This is my zone. This is my football field. I'm roasting.
You're right. You're right, Jeff. I'm sorry. And please then, let me hang out with you after the show.
Rodney Harrison just sucked Nikki Glaser's blood.
This motherfucker full of garlic.
Hey, Tony Hinchcliffe here. I know we can't do massage stuff, but what about misogyny stuff? Is that still okay?
Misogyny stuff?
Yeah.
Ooh, baby, roll in it.
Hell yeah.
Because, folks, it is Tom Brady Roast Fallout Day.
We're talking about the Tom Brady Roast and the Amazon adaptation of the video game Fallout.
That's right.
A roast that I didn't watch.
I saw some clips.
I watched most of it. It was 3 hours long. Woo! Like, insanely.
Like Oscar level.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, I was watching the first few, and it's like, okay, oh, so Jeff Ross is going first. Okay, he's going 15 minutes. Get it. Cool. Let an established, like a vet go up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Drew Bledsoe went up. It's like, we're giving Drew Bledsoe 15 minutes too.
15 minutes.
15 what it felt like. Minutes yeah, like of 10 Drew 15. Bledsoe.
5 minutes of Bledsoe material. Feels like 15, to be fair.
No, the funniest thing is to give Bledsoe 1 minute and then bring in Tom Brady.
Someone knocks him out.
He tears his ACL in the first minute, and then Brady takes over, and that's how they do Brady's spot.
He
at
does
the
his
end.
Jokes, yeah.
Did y'all see Brady's rebuttal? Was it good at all?
I saw like a couple of clips. I mean, I've got like 30 minutes left of it.
Yes.
So I need to finish. I saw a couple little snippets. He did have a Drew Bledsoe 9/11 joke.
Finally.
Yeah.
We've all been waiting for
fucking
that.
Fucking hell, right?
Wait, hold on. Is that a reference to anything that I just don't know about?
Drew Bledsoe lied and said he was a 9/11.
Yeah,
no.
He's like that guy from the league.
Amazing.
but not on the side, you'd think.
Yeah, I was actually in one of the planes that fell out. True. Just nice to be in the headlines.
My box cutter fell out the window and I jumped after it.
Yeah, I was in Tower 7.
So Brady was a noticeably like mediocre sport about it. Like the most telling thing would be a lot of jokes. Any joke that revolved around Giselle and her new guy. You could tell when he was bothered when it wouldn't cut to him after the joke. Like, and then when you finally kind of saw him again, he like wasn't really laughing that much, or it was kind of like a robotic smile. But it didn't seem like it was his ball game, if you will.
Interesting.
No, I mean, it's bold. I'll give him that. To be roasted that soon after a very public divorce, among many other things, is pretty bold.
Yeah.
And then he really did get mad, for those who don't know what we referenced. He really did get mad and walk up to Jeff Ross and tell him not to talk about Robert Kraft's massage thing.
Hilarious.
Yeah, say that shit again.
Do y'all think Tom Brady can fight?
No.
No.
I don't think so either.
I mean, he's big.
He's an athlete.
He's like 6'4".
This is like when he came out of the draft. This is what everyone said. He doesn't have the right build. This is how he's going to get 7 rings now.
Yeah. He's going to get set. He's going to box Logan Paul.
Yeah. He doesn't look like he could. I mean, even when you watch, like when he would run, you'd always be like, this mechanically does not work at all.
Yeah.
But he still was effective. I would imagine the TB12 stuff, I'm sure he's got some skill.
He's got no
skill.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like his body is very specifically tailored to do a specific range of
play,
you know, like
quarterback in the pocket.
It's even like, it's like when Jordan came back to the NBA and had to like because he had shifted his body to be for baseball he had to like recondition it for basketball.
Yeah, right.
It feels like Brady's conditioning is so targeted at what he needed to do, and he probably wouldn't waste a single ounce of training or muscle anywhere else. I don't know.
I mean,
no,
he could probably beat me up
once a
year. He could. And I'm not trying to be offensive.
No,
he would beat all of us up.
Let's be clear here. Yeah.
He would rock us all with great ease.
Carl has a shot.
I got a shot. If I get in there, if all you got to do is let it down one time, and if I'm fast enough, I get him one, but he might beat me up.
He would take me down very quickly without question.
I think I just have to go fucking crazy.
The move is to start jacking off in his direction.
Yeah.
Then he's disarmed a little, and then, you know, try to trip him over like a table or something.
Mm. I got a ring for you.
Yeah.
We are
I'm pulling the craft.
That's your strategy for every fight, right? Is to start jacking off?
Well, I mean, if I feel like I'm going to get beat, which is most fights, I start with a jack off. A jack off. People don't know what to do when you're jacking off at them.
Yeah, you had a lot of high school wrestling records in this.
I did, yeah. I mean, most of them, you know, most of them are not, they're not hung up with pride. But
no.
People know who I am. Like when I go back there to watch, when I go back there to try and watch wrestling, you know, they know who they're dealing with. Yeah, right away.
Yeah, no one like looks you in the eye. Everyone.
No, and there's a security presence, but they know they can't tackle me because, again, I have a move that I'll pull to stop any security guard from throwing me out of a place where I belong. My alma mater? No way.
Which is very dangerous to do at a high school, too.
Yeah, no, again, I mean, but I'm very clear. There's no. I'm not doing it there for any sexual reason. Yeah. This is like a violent
it's defense.
Move.
It's defense.
You can tell by the way I'm doing it. It's violent.
And when you're in high school and your opponent's in high school, it's okay.
Totally. It's like when you date. You know, when you date a teenage girl when you're a teenager, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're in your 40s and you're at a high school, kind of jacking off near the gym that they won't allow you to go in, the energy is different without question.
I think it's really nice that the courts understood that it wasn't sexual and treated it accordingly. Yeah. They showed a lot of nuance.
Yeah, that judge saying, nope, not sexual, it's violent, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in retrospect, like, didn't really help the sentencing that much, but it was nice to hear. It was nice to hear, and, you know, there were a couple days where I obviously went real big with it when I yelled it, and I wasn't allowed, you know, it was a gag order, and I yelled it, but, you know, it still was like, look, that's the old me. That was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a different, it was a different time, by the way. If you were jacking off in a gym 6 months ago, it wasn't as crazy as it looks now.
We didn't know it was wrong.
No, we really didn't. I mean, everybody was, you know, thinking it.
We have to hold space for people to change.
Yeah, and I really, that's why I kind of I mean, I haven't gone back there.
So, okay, so we don't know
yet. You haven't been tempted yet.
I've been tempted. I've driven there, but you have to like have a pass to get in now because of, you know, the settlement. Woke a lot culture. Of the money went to higher security to make sure that people, you know, who are going there are people they want there. Mm. But I'll get in there. I will go. I will be back there. There's no fucking doubt.
Everybody sign the petition. We will post it in the bio, link in bio.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, is this Wisconsin?
This is Wisconsin.
Right. Which would make... Have we said your name yet?
Nope.
No, I don't think so. But
this is Foosballs.
I think I'm Robert Kraft.
This is Foosball. We are here with the Robert Kraft of comedy, Gareth Reynolds.
Hi. Hey.
Wisconsin native and Green Bay Packer fan.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Both are true.
I feel like it's a great time to be a Packers fan, which is most times.
I am. Yeah.
That 1 year of like a little, what's going to happen next had to have been...
It was we've had a couple of those, but really, no, been fucking spoiled. It was funny this year because when Atlanta was talking about how they drafted and they were like, we're following like the Green Bay method, which is like, we're going to like sit a guy for like 2 or 3 years and really work on. I mean, that doesn't always work. Obviously, you have heir apparents and then they suck or whatever. But the Packers seem to just have really good scouting. And even with Love, like leading... You know, I would be reading stuff like 2 years into Love's career, and you'd be going, it sounds like there's something there.
Yeah.
And then last year when he finally got the go-ahead in the preseason, he had some throws. And then even the first half of the season, you were kind of watching him and you're going, he's making some throws that are fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the Packers as a team were not putting together any good first halves for like the first 8 games. And then I don't know what the fuck happened. I mean, a switch flipped where he all of a sudden was just like, oh, shit, he believes or the... I mean, youngest team in the NFL by far.
I think it's that. I think it's probably just kind of like,
So there was something changed. But he now... I am excited for year two because it's like, fuck me. I mean, he really was like... There was some I mean, we almost made it to the fucking Super Bowl last year. Yeah. We should have made it to the Super Bowl.
Quite possibly.
They blew that game. Joe Barry's defense was like, you know, that prevent defense was brutal to watch.
Yeah. That Packers-Lions championship game would have been a blast.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, man.
That would have been
so much fun.
Yeah. That Niners team, they were boring as shit.
They are. And
I was sick of them.
How is it possible that a team with CMC and Debo...
I don't know.
It's boring. And Nick Bosa's not like an exciting pass rusher, personality aside. I don't think
exciting personality.
We love Nick Bosa, don't we, folks? Yeah.
We love
Ohio State! planting the flag!
He's not like, there are guys like, I think Max Crosby is exciting to watch as a pass rusher. Obviously, like a Micah Parsons. But Bosa, I don't know. I never noticed him.
Yeah.
Kind of was for a minute. It doesn't feel like I don't know. No, yeah. I think you're right, though. Like, when the 49ers got McCaffrey, I was like, well, God damn it. Like, as an NFC fan, you're like, fuck, this is going to suck. But then, for whatever reason, I think a lot of it, like, the infatuation with Brock Purdy. is just over. I mean, again, I'm not like
you are preaching to the choir. Yeah, I'm not like, talked I'm not, a lot
I'm
about.
I'm
this.
Not saying that that guy might not have a great career or whatever, but they certainly are doing the thing where they just go another dart from Purdy, and you're like, he threw it 10 yards to Deebo Samuel. Like that is an amazing. Like that's not a huge accomplishment.
Deebo Samuel wasn't being guarded.
Yeah,
he was wide open.
Great system, you know.
He had multiple options wide open.
Yeah.
The scheme is great. He's got an amazing offensive line.
He had some games.
Fuck that little turd.
I kind of feel the same way. Like I'm just like, stop.
He had a couple games this year where I'm like, am I finally going to have to admit that he's got something? And I will say, like, down the stretch, I'm like, he had more with his legs than I thought he had.
Yeah.
There were a couple of playoff games where he was making big plays with his legs, and I was like, fuck, I really didn't think he could do that.
Super Bowl, he had a couple of good
plays.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah, it's the thing of, like, I'm not saying he's bad, but, like, because he was Mr. Irrelevant, people want, like,
they love the story.
Narrative around it is that he's this fucking messiah.
And he's fine. He's
you never know, because I think that was kind of similar with Brady when he started, though. When Brady started, you were like, great defense.
Yeah.
He was not, like, he was good, but you were not, like, then it wasn't until that kind of Josh McDaniels, Randy Moss era where you were like, holy fuck, Tom Brady can throw the goddamn
football.
Yeah.
But even then, I think even until, like, the comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl and stuff. Yeah. Like, until, like, after Peyton Manning was retired, I probably still would have argued that I thought Peyton Manning was a better quarterback.
I still do, for sure.
Some people still could, think
that.
I still do. Yeah. You still could.
I'm still a Peyton Manning.
Peyton more naturally talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a Saints fan. I love Drew Brees. Peyton Manning is my favorite quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was crazy, man.
Brady, like, the first three Super Bowls they won, I think, like, statistically, he was really average. I know his second season as a starter.
But yeah, the Super Bowl MVPs were like Deion Branch
or
Givens. What was the wide receiver they had?
Yeah, yeah.
One of them got a Super
Robin
Bowl.
Robin Givens.
Yeah, Robin Givens. Raylan Givens from Justified, the local cowboy Marshall, and Robin Givens each got a Super Bowl MVP there.
Marshall Givens, improviser.
Marshall Givens.
Of Orpheus Roy fame. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, Brady's second year, he was like 17 touchdowns, 14 picks sort of deal. Like,
it was all defense.
Great.
But I think Brock Purdy's in a similar situation where he's more of a game manager right now. Like, he does. There's a couple throws where you go, oh, maybe. But in that system, like they say, like if you put Rodgers in that system, that team is fucking ridiculous. Like, Brock Purdy is just there to, like, not fuck it up.
They literally have either, like, an elite and or highest paid player at every position.
Yeah.
They have, like, the highest paid running back, wide out, left tackle, tight end, or one of.
Wait, who's the highest paid receiver?
Deebo. Right?
Is Deebo?
Well, not now that other guys have gotten new contracts.
But at one point.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And, you know, like, defensive line, obviously, and linebacker with Fred Warner. Maybe DB would be, like, the one spot.
Travarius Ward's got a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so, like, elite stuff everywhere. I think, you know, I know he was only a rookie last year, but I think he's got one of the better kickers in the league, and Jake Moody, like.
He's a rookie.
No, I'm saying I think he's one of the better kickers.
Gotcha.
Yeah, better not. I mean, our kicker last year fucked us. So.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it? Yeah, the twin.
Oh,
yeah.
It was the Dutch. Was it the Nepo kicker?
Yeah. the Dutch boy. Yeah.
Daniel Carlson's brother.
Yep.
Yeah. Antars?
Yep. And just, it was like the amount of times where I was like, man, you know that feeling where you're like, I don't believe in this guy.
Yeah.
And I think he knows I don't. And that's going to affect this kick. And you just watch him shake a 26-yarder. You'd be like,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
He got first comeback, though. That's how young Ho Kim was back in the day. Young Hoku.
Yeah.
And ain't that his name?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young Ho.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Is he still with the Falcons?
I think so, yeah.
And then he played at, like, Georgia Southern or something.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and be like, oh, man, he's just, like,
staying home,
doing Georgia all the way.
Yeah.
But he was bad. He was, like, when he was with the Chargers, he was bad.
Yeah.
I remember when he first got in the league, he shanked a couple right away.
Yeah.
But then he's found it. Was he, like, all pro last year?
He was really good last year.
Yeah. Or no, they probably just give it to Justin Tucker every year. Just they don't even have to look.
Yeah, for all pro.
True.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong.
No, they're not, yeah.
Gareth, what is your history with Packers football? Your first game, how big of a fan you were as a kid? Were your parents fans?
Well, my parents were both English immigrants. So,
oh, I'm so sorry about the accent I did earlier.
Yeah, no, it's, I feel we do notes after the podcast.
Yeah, oh,
we'll do that in the notes. But there is a lot.
But you're welcome for an offensive Irish accent.
Well, it's not great, to be quite honest. But so there was very little connection to like American sports at all. And I guess it was kind of my brother is 12 years older, and he really started watching the Packers. And then when we had Favre and Sterling Sharp, he was so, like, before anyone knew who Sterling Sharp was, my brother, I remember going with my brother to, like, Kohl's department store and asking him for a Sterling Sharp jersey, and they're like, who is that? And so probably around, like, I don't know, like, 7 or 8, I really started watching Packers football. Right when John Madden fell in love with Brett Favre, that really helped me. Be
oh, yeah,
like,
they were dating for a while.
Yeah, they were together for a long time, and then I just like fucking became obsessed with football. I was friends with dudes who just loved football. I think the first Packer game I went to was the Packers used to play at Milwaukee County Stadium where the Brewers played. I think they'd do 2 games a year there. And I think that was the first game that I went to, and I was I was just fucking enamored with it. I think most fans do this where they're just like, when you go to my hometown, like they're really into the sport. Like, but I just felt such a connection with football in Wisconsin and the Packers and Favre. I mean, you know, like this is before I knew he was a fucking, you know, tax evading dick pic sending, you know, cunt. But I loved him. Loved him. Yeah. And that was really when they won the Super Bowl, my friend threw me and I like scraped my chin real bad. So my chin was bleeding the whole, but it was like seeing them win the Super Bowl, all that stuff, that whole Holmgren Favre era, just, I kind of signed a deal for life. And then when I first moved to LA, I got a Packer tattoo. I bought Packer stock. My mother for Christmas 1 year got me Packer stock. So it was like...
Oh, so you're part owner.
Cool. I am. So any personnel stuff, obviously, I'm willing to get into, but I can't get into everything. But yeah, it was just very much like just baked into my childhood growing up there.
Yes, so you got a Super Bowl pretty quickly into your fandom. That feels good.
Yeah, probably...
That's 97.
Is that good for a child?
I watched a lot of shit, like, because I was watching the shitty Favre years, you know, like, which were crazy.
Well, he was only there 2 years before they won his championship, right?
What are the shitty Favre years?
I think it was a little longer than that.
No, he got drafted in...
Well, he got drafted to Atlanta.
In 92.
Yeah.
And then they won in 96.
Atlanta for 2 years, so 3 years?
Maybe then? 3 years, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But those first couple, like that, he took over the first year for Don Majkowski, and you saw, like the first game he came in, I think was against the Bengals, and you were like, holy, it was a comeback, and you're like, holy shit, like he was fucking on fire. And then it was the picks. He would take you out of so many games with picks.
I remember, I think it was maybe the year he was on the Jets that he made the Pro Bowl throwing like 20 picks or something crazy. And I was like, it was always kind of a thing people... But now that becomes the comp for every quarterback who's a little like Josh Allen. Oh, he's a gunslinger. It's always like...
The gunslinger thing. Is like, I wish they could siphon that out of football terminology.
Yeah.
Because they did for Jameis Winston. They just say that he sucks. Even though he has the same numbers.
His picks were, some of you were like, what is happening? Yeah. Like Favre would throw like terrible pat. You'd be like, no, but Jameis, you'd be like, why is he tapping it like a volleyball to someone?
I think Jameis hit 30 picks 1 year, did he not?
Yeah, 30 picks, 30 touchdowns, 5,000 yards.
If this is sore, but I feel like didn't Love make one really insanely bad throw at the end of that?
Yeah, the comeback drive. Like, if you were in the NFC Championship game, like, it was, he did have one throw when it was like, yeah, you don't need to get the ball to the fucking 20 right now. Like, have a little more patience.
It was just a bummer because he had such a breakout, and I was like, that's going to be the last note of this.
Yeah, you don't want that to be the...
Well, Rodgers did the thing that Favre didn't do, which was he wouldn't try the fucking dumb play. And, like, Love was kind of seeming like he was more like that. But then, yeah, he threw one where you were like, you know, just a terrible fucking decision.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, it was a bummer. But I also blame Joe Barry's defense, and we got rid of Joe Barry.
Well, that's good.
Like, watching Joe Barry was just like, you know what it's like when you're watching your team in 2 minutes run prevent and you're like, look, you know more than I do, but holy fuck, they know that you're in prevent and they're going to fucking abuse you.
But Packers fans are pretty happy with LaFleur, right?
Yeah, I see some who are, I mean, you get the, I remember when, like, yeah, like, you, there's always people who are just like, it's crazy, get him out of there, we need Jeff Fisher, you know, you're like, what are you talking about?
I want to go 8-8 every year.
Yeah, like, get rid of LaFleur, he's out of his mind, you know, trade Love, start from scratch. And you get a lot of those guys, but no, I mean, look, you cannot, whatever the fuck you think about a coach, you cannot argue with, he has won so many fucking games.
Results?
Yeah.
He has. I think he's lost one game in December, playoffs every year but one. You know, he just, and that one, it was against the Lions, and, you know, that was to get into the playoffs. They've been insanely competitive. I think his main issue, which was fucking McCarthy's problem for a while too, was hanging on to D coordinators who just suck and have no pass rush.
I mean, that's my thing as a Steelers fan with Tomlin, was that I've always loved Tomlin, but he hung on to Matt Canada way too long and destroyed us.
Yeah.
Like, well, and you get a couple games where you're like, oh, maybe we do have a pass. Like, there's a couple, like, it was so hard for me last year because I was like, all I wanted was for them to fire Joe Barry. So I would be watching the game, and it's so hard to, like, it's like when you're rooting for a draft pick. It's like, you kind of can't because you're like, I like watching them win, but just suck for next year.
Yeah.
But so I was kind of doing that. And then it would be like, there would be games where you'd be like, well, now we have a pass rush. Now we're picking off balls and stuff like that. But I still knew Joe Barry sucked. So the fact that we got as far as we did and we still fired Barry showed me like, all right, look. Yeah, like McCarthy held on to Dom Capers. I mean, there was footage of Dom Capers literally sleeping in the booth. Sleeping. During games, and he had another three seasons. It was like, right there, that's done.
That, well, that's like McCarthy's thing too, right? Like,
yeah, now, yeah, he learned from the best. Yeah. But
ooh,
the fact
I saw you were having a good nap up there. Yeah, jealous.
How are you doing that just on your hand? Yeah. It's impressive. But so the fact that they fired Joe Barry makes me feel like LaFleur gets it more than McCarthy did a little bit.
So as a Packer fan, what, like, true feelings about Aaron Rodgers at this point? Like, what was it like cheering for him when you had him? And now, kind of like, what's his legacy amongst Packers fans?
I mean, I think, like, look, I guarantee if you talk to most pro athletes, you're going to be like, what? Like, that happens all the time. Like, you know, like when Kyrie Irving starts talking about, like, Earth and stuff, you're like, man, it's just you're really good, but what? But I am like, they're athletes. There's so many, like, they are surrounded in the weirdest, when you're that talented for all your life, you know, we're not looking for your, like, astute political observations.
Yeah.
And Rodgers was so fucking good for so fucking long. And I felt like he was entertaining.
Very exciting to watch.
There was a guy who I worked with on this ridiculously horrible Fox show, and he was working on Jim Rome's show, and Rodgers was going to be on the show, and he's like, come down, meet Rodgers, and I had, like, a fucking gig, so I couldn't. And he was like, you're serious? I was like, I can't get out of this gig. So he got Rodgers to hold a sign up that said, hey, Gareth, you're a real biatch. And the way he sold him on it was, he was like, Rodgers was like, I don't know, and he goes, it doesn't say bitch, it says biatch. He's like, way better. So Rodgers held it and all that stuff. So I'd always heard he was, like, kind of a good sport. I'd had a couple friends who'd shot, like, commercials with him, and always heard he was fucking a good dude. His play was exceptional. Truly, like, there were, I mean, again, it's like the defense failed him so many times. So he is held in high regard by Packer fans. The thing that obviously has thrown that into balance is that, yeah, the past couple of years, he's been saying some fucking crazy. Half of the stuff Rodgers talks about, I'm like when he's like, I'm going to a dark cave for like 4 days, I'm taking ayahuasca, I'm like, these are all things that I do, and I'm all that shit. He also, you know, like, has a UFO experience, and he talks about, like, you know, I think the truth is that everyone has a version of how government or politics or some system in America is totally fucking them. And the only reason why you get there is because you're watching the country be so fucking ridiculous and not be run properly. So, yeah, he's a fucking athlete. He goes to some crazy goddamn places and he starts talking about... I think most people recognize that it's like, you know, unless it's like sexual misconduct, like what these fucking people do off the field is like, they're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And Rodgers gave us so many good years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like where you weren't having your heart broken like Favre, or your Favre broken like heart. where, you know, like the last season he was with the Packers, like there was the first time where I was like, oh, Rodgers is making some of these questionable Favre throws. Where you're like, what did he see? I didn't even see what he saw on that one. And so you wish him the best. I mean, I felt bad when he fucking tore his Achilles in that first goddamn game. I mean, that's like, it was like he became like a gif like then.
Fourth play or something?
Fourth play. Really, and the way you could see it snap, like the slow-mo of that thing snapping was fucking brutal.
Very New York Jets.
Yeah, very New York Jets.
Yeah.
But I also think you see the thing now where Tom Brady fucked that mold up in a way for quarterbacks because they all want to go to their Tampa Bay and build the team. And I think if you look at the team Rodgers built last year with the Jets, it's horrible. I do not think it was
no offensive line.
No offensive line. Great defense. Yeah. Maybe like the best defense, but the receivers that he brought in, a lot of them played for the Packers. It's like if you're talking about
Alan Lazard.
Yeah, Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, like those are like your go tos.
Cobb was his boy though. Randall Cobb is his boy. And Randall Cobb was on his last leg in the league. He probably was like, let him come get one last deal.
He also brought in Kostas Antetokounmpo. And Carlson kicker. He's bringing in all the favor.
Get him over there. Yeah, no, it's but what he did is like, I mean, it's so weird. He went to the Jets. Same thing happened with Favre. When Favre went to the Jets, I was like, let's go. I support him. It was when he went to the Vikings, I was like, fuck this guy.
That's a new level of betrayal then, because coming back to the division.
Hangs in there and doesn't come to the NFC North, then I think he will have good clout in Green Bay for a long time.
Do you feel like, a lot has been made, like, how did that guy not win more championships in Green Bay? Where do you... place
and why did the one he won have to be against the Steelers?
Well, Tomlin. He definitely should have won more. I mean, you felt like when they did win that one against the Steelers,
but like the start of something,
they just beat him like a drum.
And he won four MVPs. He won a
four MVPs. Yep.
And so that was the only one that he went to. He never lost the Super Bowl.
Nope, right? Only went to one.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And he should have gone to a couple more. There's the worst one was, I think it was, no, it was the year. So we won. Then the next year it might have been.
It was Niners Ravens.
Well, yeah.
Was that Giants?
No, it was Seattle. It was the one where it was Seattle.
And Denver, and they just beat the shit out of them?
No, it was.
It would go, so it was. 09 season was
the 09 season was
Saints, and then 2010 would be, I think, that season.
Yeah, that was
Packers won in January or February of 2011.
Yeah, that's 2010. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, so then the next year that was Giants. Oh yeah, so 2011 is like kind of the famous season. It's the Giants beat the Patriots for the second time.
Right.
But 2011 is like considered like the greatest quarterback season of all time.
Yeah,
and that's Rodgers did win his first MVP, but like him, Brady, and Breeze had like crazy years, crazy years.
He kept having. We had, I forget which game it was. It might not have even been. I think it was the NFC Championship game, Seattle, Green Bay, and it was like everyone thought, you know, Seattle was considered widely the better team, and the Packers owned them for most of the game. It was like, but up by 12 in a low scoring game.
It's the onside kick game.
And then they pulled a trick field goal with John Ryan, who was our field goal kicker. And then he was like, boom, which is like, bro, you like, relax. You still are a kicker. And then the onside kick the onside kick. I think Brian Bostic, it went off his head and Jordy Nelson was right behind him with his hands wide open. and then Seattle recovered, got it in overtime. And then, like, second play of the game, they fucking...
Bomb.
Just threw a bomb and just grabbed it, and that was over. And there were a lot of those with Rodgers. Like,
was that the 15-1 year, too?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I'm looking, it says the 15-1 was the year after they won the Super Bowl. So
that would have been... That was 2011, and that was when they lost to the Giants, who eventually... went
So then it was a different one.
Different year. Yeah.
What year is the?
Replacement refs.
Yeah.
Against Seattle.
Yeah.
That was the game that solidified my strong hatred for Pete Carroll because that was so clearly bullshit. And Pete Carroll stood up there after it was amazing because when you watch that was the game that brought the real refs back.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Carl's referring to the moment where one ref holds signals touchdown and the other signals.
And they looked and the way they look at each other, you could tell one's looking at the other one to be like, not a touchdown, right? But as he's like moving his hands, the other one's like, those hands are going up, so we're calling touchdown. Yeah. And Pete Carroll was like, boom. And you were like, what the fuck? And then after seeing the footage, Pete Carroll was like, that was a touchdown. And it's like, there's so many better ways to just be like, look, it was close and these guys are trying to catch up. I mean, to me, but he was so confident that it was a fucking touchdown.
Mm.
But yeah, so he should have won more. There's no doubt. I mean, he statistically is one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah. Do you put the blame on McCarthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McCarthy
got stale. I mean, you even see it last year in Dallas, McCarthy had a really good year, and he has outperformed what I thought he would, because when we fired him, I really thought nothing of him. I was like, get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Seems like he is better now, but no, I think he held on to Dom Capers for so fucking long. You know the pieces you need, and one of them is a defense. I don't think it helped, and I'm not even trying to be a fucking asshole. Ted Thompson, at the end of his era, had dementia. There's probably three seasons there where Ted Thompson was. They were probably trying to figure out what's going on here.
He's trying to sign Newt Rockne.
Yeah,
he's hard nosed.
Yeah, he's suited up, and they're like, Ted, you don't play safety. but I think you saw some of that going on. So they kind of like they did. They squandered most of his good years, unfortunately. But I do blame McCarthy far more than Rodgers.
Yeah.
Rodgers was still having consistently fucking incredible seasons. And was putting us, if not in the playoffs, like should have been in the playoffs almost every year.
It just felt like that marriage lasted like went on 3 years too long. Like they're sleeping in separate
bedrooms.
Well,
and when Rodgers was under LaFleur, he was starting to he was fucking firing again. I mean, he was fucking great. But when you look at that year where we won the Super Bowl, the run of the playoff games where we were wild card.
Oh, that's right. You were a wild card.
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
The throws he was making, like Atlanta was the one seed. And I mean, he was making throws that you were just like, how?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a time. When football was great.
Yeah.
Make football great again.
Yeah.
What was
Maffa.
Yeah.
What was didn't he have like the Hail Mary to win a game that was the Rob Janis or what was the guy's name?
Jeff Janis.
Who's Rob Janis?
Rob Janis is an improv teacher at Second City.
Okay. Yeah, also amazing and clutch just towards the end of a Herald. Yeah. Very similar. That was the Cardinals.
That was an insane one. Yeah.
So he had the one against the Lions, which was the craziest one.
Yeah.
That, everyone knows that one. But then in, I think it was a wild card game against the Cardinals. And it was like, fuck out of the no way. And he made two passes with like 20 seconds left. One of them like got you to the 50. And then the other one was a Jeff Janis last second touchdown, took us to overtime and then lost in overtime.
Who was the tight end that made that catch one time that wasn't even a light skinned guy?
Yeah. Fucking A.
It wasn't even Mercedes Lewis.
No. I can't remember his name.
There's a great history of tight ends in the Packers, I feel like. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember they had like Mark Chmura and Bubba Franks.
Bubba Franks was my guy.
Yeah.
Bubba Franks, I wore 88.
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers, yeah.
Oh, that's
Richard
Rodgers. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Bubba Franks was amazing. Chmura too. I mean, it ends oddly for Chmura.
And Sharp, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Sterling Sharp really was, that was like, because we were kind of like the Lions up until then a little bit, where it was like they never got it going. They had
Lynn Dickey.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of a comedy of errors for a long time. And then it was like once it was Favre Sharp, it changed. We had Robert Brooks. Like there were just like names all of a sudden that were fucked. But Sterling Sharp truly would, without the neck injury, would have gone on to be like one of the greatest receivers ever.
I mean, man, they had... They had some great. I loved Antonio Freeman.
Antonio Freeman was
Antonio Freeman the he did what catch?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One of the
against
best
the Vikings.
Sport highlights
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. Sure. That's one of those things where you kind of are just like, you know, we had owned that division for so long and like teams wanted the Packers dead so much. And then it was against the Vikings and it was like, they should have won that game. And you were like, wait, what?
And it was Monday night or
Monday
something.
Monday night football.
Yeah. Everyone was watching that.
So, yep. Yeah, it's like a Monday night classic moment.
If you haven't seen it, just Google he did what.
Yeah. Well, and you know when you like watch the, and like, it, as you get older, you get more used to it where you're like, I didn't hear a whistle and everyone's reacting like that ball's live. You're like, yeah. No fucking way.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I remember seeing it live.
When
I was a kid,
too.
Yeah.
Watch it. Yep. I feel like I was watching on like the tiny TV that was in the kitchen type
yeah,
situation.
The kitchen yeah. guy with the antenna.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you were in the airport sitting in the chair watching.
You're like, man, technology has really gotten fucking crazy. Look at this.
I used to want to watch one of those TVs so bad whenever we'd be at like the Greyhound station or something. Yeah. Like, grandma, can I? I got 50 cents to put that damn TV. It's like
just the novelty. I just want to experience the novelty.
In this chair
it
watching
really was like, you were like, whoa. TV in another space?
Yeah.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
So we like to do a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
We like to know, and so we'll have you act as the sort of spokesperson for all of Packer Nation.
Okay.
To put together a players only
Players
Mount Rushmore.
Only.
Okay,
we should say that every time. Yeah, we should play a little snippet of R. Kelly's Players Only,
and then we're gonna have you put together your Farmers Only Mount Rushmore.
Oh, well, that's a lot easier.
Four best dates you've been on.
Brad from Valencia, that guy, hot dick.
Family Guy's like, it's for white people.
We'll
don't
give...
say it, but it's only for white people.
Cleveland.
First, we'll give ours.
Okay.
We'll kind of guess what we think the Packers won, and then you'll kind of tell us how close we are.
It runs the risk of being extremely quarterback heavy.
Yeah.
This
for a
team
that's had so much success in several different eras that are all kind of defined by the quarterback. Because the first thing I think is Rodgers, Favre, Starr.
Yeah.
Rodgers, Favre, Starr, White.
Randy White.
Randy White?
No.
Reggie?
Reggie White.
Yeah, Randy White's a cowboy. I was thinking that too. I was wondering, do you get to, because. Who gets to claim Reggie White? Do two teams get to claim him?
The Eagles and... Oh, we already gave it to the Eagles. Have we had the Eagles yet?
No.
Nah.
No, but also
we
I do think two
people
teams
to throw
can
batteries
claim
at.
Like, Peyton Manning might crack the Broncos one, wouldn't he? But he's certainly on the Colts.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to have someone be on two different... Hell, Tom Brady might crack the fucking Bucs. They haven't had that much success.
Yeah.
I watched that...
If we can find a fan of them to even bring on here.
I watched the Reggie White doc. The homie Jamal is a is a Bucks fan, but he lives in Washington, D.C. But I think he's going to come out here in this year sometime. So if you're listening to this, Jamal, which I know you are.
From the league, right? Yeah. He was in the league.
Yeah. But I think Reggie White, when I watched that Reggie White doc, it made me go, oh, that was his Super Bowl. Over Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But that was against Bledsoe's Patriots, right? Yeah, I remember that. Was that Parcells coaching them too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a lot.
A good team.
Yeah, was that when they had like Terry Glenn and Joey Galloway in a
movie? Yes, I think they did, yeah.
You guys had Dorsey Levins, who I always liked, and I think it was purely just because he had a cool name.
Dorsey Levins.
Well, that was
name.
Also the year we had, what the fuck was his name? He was a free agent. The guy who
Desmond
dated.
Desmond Howard?
No, the guy who dated Left Eye. And she
Andre Rison.
So that was the year we signed Andre Rison. And the first play of that Super Bowl for the Packers offense is an audible. And Andre Rison is just running wide fucking open. So the first play of that Super Bowl for the Packers is basically an audible Favre to Rison. And he just goes.
Right. Oh, man.
And then the game tightened up. Yeah.
And then didn't Dez Howard have a touchdown in Super Bowl?
Yep, he was MVP. Touchdown.
Yeah. I'm a Michigan fan, too. So I love Desmond.
Desmond Howard was... Yeah. Fucking greatest.
That's crazy. That's crazy that because he just had the one return for a touchdown. Did he catch a touchdown? Because he was the MVP of the
game. No, he didn't catch a touchdown.
That's a wild.
He had another good run back, too, and it was a tight game. And when he had that run back, it really was.
Kind of blew it open a little bit.
It was the chain. It changed the game.
They will give an MVP to a guy who makes like a definitively big play. Like, didn't the guy who picked off Russ at the 1 yard line? Butler for the
Malcolm
Patriots.
Butler?
Didn't he get the MVP
then? Yeah.
And when the Bucks beat the Raiders, a DB, I think it's like Dexter Jackson or someone like that, he got an MVP from it. Like,
that one.
They'll
crazy.
Give out some MVPs to some surprising.
They seem more inclined. I mean, they're always more inclined to go quarterback, but it seems they are more than then. Back then, I mean, Desmond Howard did just completely change the momentum of the game. Packers were like winning, it was good to go. And then it like started to really tighten up, and I think we might have, it was either tied or we were down when he broke that one.
Yeah, it was huge.
Is Jordy Nelson on the Chernobyl Mount Rushmore?
Oh yeah, so we have a Chernobyl.
A second weird head.
Yeah, we haven't had head sort of sprout
yeah,
out.
Sprout some extra heads.
Even though we realize Chernobyl. Again that's Three Mile Island.
It's not really Chernobyl, but. What's your four favorite Packers players with their skin falling off? That would be a Chernobyl rush.
Yeah, Sam Congato.
Okay, so are we kind of locking in the three quarterbacks and Reggie White?
Yeah.
I like that.
Would that be... Well, let's have you do your four, Gareth.
Okay, I definitely would say Jordy Nelson, Chernobyl head.
Yeah.
So he's first on the Chernobyl head?
He's first on the Chernobyl
head. He's ahead of Adams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense. I just was making sure.
Well, Jordy Nelson,
was there for more of the winning.
Yeah. There was just more. There was the Super Bowl, and there was a time where the whole receiving core was insane, but Jordy Nelson was having success. Okay. So I would go my Mount Rushmore. I'm going to keep Favre off just because he steals money from the people of Mississippi.
Wow. So
to open a collegiate volleyball stadium for his daughter.
And would fellow Packer fans be like, yep, absolutely. No.
Hell no.
No, you still see Favre jerseys at games.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah.
So you are the representative for all of the cheeseheads.
I did one of those.
All of the vegan cheeseheads because that's woke.
Yeah, thank you. I did one of those NFL network talking head things, and it was about, I don't remember what the fuck it was about, but they were like, Favre Rogers. And I really didn't know what the fuck I was taping until afterwards. And I was just like, Rogers, because of this and that. And then it was like on Twitter, people would be like, you're a fucking dickhead. You don't represent us. But I think statistically, Rogers it's tight. But I think he was just a better quarterback.
Definitely better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can say he was a better quarterback, but just what Brett Favre means to Green Bay, that's...
It undoes it for me with the dick pics and stuff.
So
I took a year off of football when
Colin Kaepernick kneeled. I know you don't disrespect.
I mean, respect the goddamn flag, would you? The hell? It's like, I have private emails between me and Nick Bosa. And, some colorful language flies.
And Gruden on there.
Can you imagine Nick Bosa and Kaepernick on the same team? I mean, he must have just been like, buddy, unless you're hurt. But I'm gonna keep Favre off.
So Rodgers on.
Rodgers on. Reggie White on.
Reggie White on.
I think to your point, when you actually watch, like, first of all, that changed the franchise. That was a fucking franchise U-turning moment when God Lombardi spoke to Reggie White and said, go to Green Bay, and he did go. It was shocking.
Yeah.
It was a shocking moment. And when
it's like
you,
the first big like free agent
it really
signing
was.
Really turned.
Ron Wolf was so fucking great at what he did.
I mean, the guy's a general manager and putting out all these Law and Order shows.
I know. The guy
Chicago Fire, Chicago
Mets.
That's
the real mystery. But you see, when you watch Reggie White play in that era, he is literally throwing linemen into quarterbacks. He is double covered, and he was just, I remember watching one game against the Broncos where it was like, it was Elway, and it was like, my brother and I were watching it, and it was like, they had momentum, and then it was like, third down, Reggie White sacked John Elway. So you're like, fourth down, and then Reggie White sacked him again, and you were just like, the fuck? So I'm putting him on there.
Did he wind up, does he hold the record for career sacks, or did Bruce Smith?
Bruce Smith has it.
Yeah.
It's real close.
Bruce,
It's like by a sack.
Yeah, okay. But still,
career, I was going to say season. Because Strahan
broke
had
the season.
Favre gave it to him, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
When he did the weird...
Kind of fell down.
Yeah, he kneeled down. And that was okay, but Kaepernick. but did a fly just fly out of my mouth?
Ooh.
I caught him.
There have been some plagues going around.
Oh, joy. So then after that, I would probably, now are you just talking statistics or can I just, I'm going
to
tell
sort
you.
Like meaningful to the franchise.
Leroy Butler was around when Reggie White was around and he invented the Lambeau leap. And
last week our guest was a Cleveland fan and chose a guy who coined the term the dog pound.
Oh wow.
So something like that I think can push a guy over the edge.
It creates a culture.
And Leroy Butler has always stuck around in like Green Bay press. He's like he's such a homer. And so I would put Leroy Butler on there. And then this last one is going to be controversial because nobody's going to know. I'm not representing the fans well. This is a selfish decision. John Yurkovic. John Yurkovic was a lineman. And my friends and I just decided that John Yurkovic was every time you'd see him interviewed, he just kind of seemed like a real weird Midwest man. He kind of always had the like Chuck Cecil nose bleeding thing going on.
Yeah.
And we went to an autograph signing once where John Yurkovic was, and we drank Blatt's beer just to be kind of ironic, and we went up to Yurkovic at the autograph signing, and we were like asking him, and we were like, hey, Yurko, do you drink Blatt's? And he just looked up, and he goes, warm Blatt's. And we were all like, oh, Yurko. So I'd put John Yurkovic on my...
You know what? I hope he hears this.
I'm trying to get to him. It's one of those things where
I feel like you can't.
I know. You think. I have more followers. I always think one of those things that gets weird when you're like, I have more followers.
I mean, he made the Packers Mount Rushmore over Bart Starr.
Yeah.
Who?
Never heard of him. Who else was on that Bart Starr team, on that first Super Bowl?
You had Ray Nitschke is a fucking legend.
That's a legend, yeah.
I don't like his philosophies, though. Nietzsche?
Ray Nietzsche? Ray Nietzsche?
His philosophies are too...
That's so funny.
A little dark for me. I don't think God is dead.
There was a black dude who... I think it was the running back. Because that's the only position they were allowed to play back then. But like... his name like... He had like... You know how men back then had women's names? His name was like... Marion or Barbara.
That was the only way they let him play.
Her name was Nancy.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Kathleen. Look, Kathleen up the gut.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Hold on. Who was
I'm
on that
try
team?
And find this.
Don Hudson. Is Don Hudson? Don Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a guy. Yeah. For sure.
He's on that. Yeah.
Well, you could also say there's a. It's really I can't
Paul
remember.
Paul Hornung.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a
he's
big
in the ring.
Right?
Old Jim horny
Taylor,
Hornung.
I know that name.
There's also Curly Lambeau, who Lambeau Field is named after, when he was like, I think it was still the Acme Packers. I don't remember. But there's this whole story about like how the facility where he used to train them in, like it was like a big hotel he had, basically, and he would make them all live there. And it was just hell. Nobody liked it. Nobody liked him. And then it burned down, and they think it was like potentially arson, like a player burned it down.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So.
Now, there is that one strip club in Green Bay.
What's it called? The Swiss Hole?
I don't know what it's called.
That's a great first thought. Was pretty good
hole.
On that one.
Yeah, the Swiss Hole. I don't know what it's called, but it is one that's very popular there that the girls come in from Chicago.
What's the insinuation here? You don't think we got homegrown dishes?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I asked.
Only the most beautiful women from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just cold white skin with like bruises on it. This, I was trying to shovel the other day and cracked it.
Maybe the
$5 for your lap dance.
Yeah. Craziest.
Welcome to the stage,
of
Nabisco.
Hassan told the story. I think he told it on one of our earlier episodes where he was saying that the strip club had like a crazy cover charge or something like that.
That
it's like,
if you're
like
it's
fucking
it's
Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this strip goes in the middle of a field.
Dude, it is such a small, like, people don't understand how small, like, when you go there, it is just, it is a town completely dedicated to the, everything is green
it's
and
like
gold.
It's like Cooperstown.
Yes. Everything, yeah. Every street is named after coaches or players. It's when the season is not going on, like the people who live close to the stadium, I mean, they make like an incredible income just selling parking on their property. But it is tiny, tiny little fucking town. And when you go there, you are like, you know, it's like, there's not much. So
I was going to ask, because we talk a lot, especially in the Browns episode, we talked a little bit about like relative fandom of like the pro sports.
Yeah, I'm a little sick of hearing about this Browns episode. Like, it's great. I'm really glad you guys had a good Browns episode.
God, she was awesome.
Yeah, she sounds great, but we're on the Packers episode. So maybe we can,
sorry,
you know what I mean? Recalibrate.
I'm so sorry. I won't
okay.
bring it up again. And Ryan and I are also like.
You mean Brown and you?
Yeah, sorry. Brown and I.
All right. Kevin, get the car.
Also, sort of from the Midwest and. We have different like college versus pro like fandom things, but what is the University of Wisconsin football fandom? It feels like my guess is that people would take one Packers ring over like five Wisconsin national titles. It's more Packers.
It is. I mean, they look.
Let me see if I can find a longer way to ask that question. Actually,
do you want to try another?
Yeah, let me take that back and
go
longer.
All right. Why don't you? We'll light you when it's time to wrap it up. No, I think it is. It's more. I mean, look, we love the fucking Bucks. We love the Brewers. Love the Badgers. But it is Packers.
Packers
is the one.
Do you have any personal like Wisconsin football fandom or no?
No, I really don't. I college football. I'll just watch the bowls.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I used to watch like shitloads of basketball. And then the past few years, it's just kind of been more playoff. I start to check out the Bucks like mid-season.
Yeah.
And then that's a fucking shit show. But
did you get swept up in that Wisconsin basketball team with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Becker?
No.
Really? I feel like I got swept up.
I watched it. Yeah, but I I've always been more pro than
right on.
College.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, we've talked about this a little bit, just kind of the like. Each city sort of like allegiance, like who's their most like, I feel like only New York and Los Angeles are the only cities I can think of off the top of my head that like would not be the football team is like our thing.
Huh.
Well, I mean, it's weird for New York, but LA didn't have football for 25 years. So
yeah.
that's probably why.
Yeah, it's understandable. Oh,
and then they brought in two.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like it was kind of a weird move to like, you kind
of
split it.
And one of them is from such a close.
Yeah. One of them. Like, and that fan base is still furious.
Yeah. I would say is like,
Miami's the other one I was
going to
say.
Dolphins feel like the Heat, maybe just because of track record, I feel like it seems like more of a Heat town, but I don't really know.
I think it is.
And then would Indianapolis, is that a Colts town or are they Pacers?
I'd say Indiana's
a basketball
close.
State.
But the fandom gets funneled a lot into college basketball.
Yeah. Probably, it's probably Hoosiers over Pacers.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's close because the Colts were so fucking good for so long.
Yeah.
With Peyton, but also those fucking Reggie Miller.
Before the Rams left, St. Louis would definitely be a Cardinals town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. No, I think that Milwaukee is like, yeah. I mean, they love.
It's Packers.
Yes, it is. Even Milwaukee. It's like the Bucks are fuck. I mean, you have Giannis, so it's obviously crazy, but still, that. It's Packers.
Yeah. It was, I saw a guy, I was like buying a bagel the other day, and the guy had a Phoenix Coyotes hat on, you know, and they just, the news is that they're losing that team. They're going to Salt Lake. I imagine they'll be called Utah and not Salt Lake, but yeah. I was like, you know, doing the like, that's a bummer. It seems like they got a good fan base there, and thinking it's like the Oakland A's, and the guy just goes like, nah. And I was like, oh, is it like a Suns town? He's like, they don't really have good sports fans there at all.
Yeah,
no, he threw his whole city under the bus.
Yeah,
they're front running. That's a front running ass city.
We had Justin in here, and he seemed. He's your buddy.
I know. That's why I'm talking shit about him.
Yeah. He honestly, even he was like, yeah, I haven't really watched them much over the past few years.
Boy, that Suns team this year, though, that's fucking great. That's crazy.
I loved watching their downfall.
I know. It's just like, it's really fucking nuts.
They're going to run it back, though, and they're going to be back.
I got no other choice.
They have choice.
To. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely like, I think I've been to Phoenix a few times and I'm always like, what is this town? Like, I'm like, it is, I'm not like, because I pretty much drive to all my stand up gigs now. And I see every city and every state.
Got like your own Madden bus?
Yeah. That's my fucking dream. When I was a kid, I was like, this guy's out of his mind. Now I'm like, that is all I want.
Yeah.
Like, when I was on Chrysler's bus, I was like, this is fuck. I have a van. I have like a white Pervo van.
Yeah.
But Phoenix is one of those towns where I'm like, I just never ever would I live there.
Yeah, it's tough. I've gone to the spring training a couple times.
Yeah,
and I always want it to be tight. And it never is.
No, it just isn't.
I actually wasn't even there. I was in Tucson, and my buddy and I drove up, and that's not a short drive.
No,
we drove up, saw a D-backs game, ate at the Alice Cooper's restaurant. Me and his buddies goaded him into trying to do some eating challenge where you finish like a fucking 25-inch hot dog.
Oh, fuck's sake.
With one swallow.
And that felt like the cultural apex of Phoenix while it was happening.
What was this always fucking cracks me up. Like, what's the prize? Is it a t-shirt and a picture on the wall?
Yep.
No, it's that you don't have to pay
for it.
It's crazy.
And it was like, I had.
Did he do it?
He didn't succeed. But the deal we made with him was like, you do it. And if you fail, we'll pay for it. But it was like me getting his friends. It was like my college roommate who lives there now and like all goading him into doing it. And he Craig, shout out Craig Rack. He listens to the pod sometimes. He might hear this story. But if I remember, he did not.
How many
succeed.
Inches did he get?
Okay.
Hey, yo.
Can I do ass? No.
Okay, no. Yeah, what if I shove it up my ass?
I'll do half and half. Meet in the middle, like a handshake. No,
we're going to Lady in the Tramp.
Hit my intestines.
Yeah, can we spit roast the hot dog?
Yeah.
I think it also had like a pound of fries and you had to finish too. It was crazy.
You know when you'll just be on like whatever Hulu or Freevo or whatever the fuck, and you just see a show and you're like, all right, fuck it. And it's like, you're not hooked, but you're like, I'm just going to have this on all the I did that with Man vs. Food.
Yeah.
There's two hosts, and the second host is this guy named Casey. And
the redhead guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, for some reason, that one, it was like the culture had kind of caught up to the concept of the show more, where like every city is now like, the Waffle Channel, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And watching this fucking guy from when he started to when he was on like season 8, and I was just like, this man's body has been ravaged by this show. And like watching him like punish himself always to just be like at the intro, just be like, and if I do it, I get a t-shirt. And you're like, any gastroenterologist would be like, Casey, don't do it.
He's like,
you shouldn't. There's so many pickled jalapenos. Like, I got this.
He's like Paul Bettany in the Da Vinci Code. Like that priest whipping him.
There's no way that Food Network, or that wasn't even on Food Network, was it? Wasn't that Travel Channel?
Oh, yeah, it started on Travel Channel.
Yeah,
right.
Like, there's no way they're paying him that much money.
Well, and he was like, in like one of them, he's like, I was an actor and all. And I'm like, oh, fuck, poor guy.
That's why the other guy quit.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
yeah.
This show is bad. It was making me depressed. Like,
I had a show on the Travel Channel for one fucking season and went to a dinner one night with him. I forget his name, Adam something. And he was like, first of all, he loved weed. He was like, weed's really helpful for that show. And the other thing is, like, he was like, when he's not filming, he's like, I don't eat. He's like, my life is gearing up to shoot a season of this fucking
Jesus.
Show. And he couldn't take it.
It just reminds me of, you ever see the Whitest Kids You Know?
Wait, so, real quick. So he was like really high every time he was.
He said that, getting stoned would like help his appetite to fit. I mean, that which is like
checks out.
A stereotypical thing, but
yeah,
has been proven to be true.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was just saying the Whitest Kid You Know sketch about doing Super Size Me with whiskey.
Oh my God.
Rest in peace, Trevor Moore. But yeah, it was a fucking great sketch. It was just like about doing Super Size Me, but with whiskey. And like every doctor is just like, no, don't do this. And he's like, all right, first morning, going to have a glass of whiskey. Okay. Well, I'm still pretty hungry, so going to have another glass. Yeah. And like the first cut, the joke, the brilliance of the sketch, I feel like, is that they don't do it gradual. It's just like the first cut is like him outside by a car, shirtless, smoking a cigarette. It's a great fucking sketch. Well, that's my plug for today.
Yeah. Speaking of plugs, let's open up the plug bag for Gareth. What do you got for me?
I'll be in Australia from May... fucking whatever, 7th, 8th, 9th, something like that, on tour with my podcast, The Dollop. You can go to dolloppodcast.com. And then June, I'll be doing stand-up all over the place. You can go to GarethReynolds.com and listen to my show that's a call-in advice show with Jake Johnson called We're Here to Help.
There you have it. That was a pro plug.
At Reynolds Gareth on social media.
Succinct. Hit all the bases in 15 seconds. You know, incredible.
Listen, we don't need to saturate them. I mean, it's not like there's going to be any follow through. Nobody they goes coming. To any.
We have our listener fan, our listener base in Australia is huge.
All right.
Well, they love me over there.
See you out there, mate.
They're obedient.
Yeah.
One of them got engaged to Ryan.
Is that how you met your fiance?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I said, send your most beautiful woman.
I'll take one. Oh, a Perth one? Okay.
Breaking news. Dating the pod. Victor Wembanyama, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, wow. That was shocking.
I'm happy Chet didn't win. He deserved it.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm happy
Chet. Oh,
Chet was probably second. I was going to say, who the hell was even second, but it was Chet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I defended it when Blake won it that way and Ben Simmons. So.
Oh, right, because they had the year. And
they,
then,
both,
right,
they,
you
they didn't
full,
play.
Yeah,
right.
The Wembanyama.
Yeah. All righty.
That shit doesn't fly in the NFL. You miss your rookie
it's
year.
It's over.
Yeah, no, that's shit. It. You don't get to win.
And if you're a running back, you retire.
Yeah.
That's it. That was your window, dog.
You go work at Enterprise Rent a Car.
Yeah, that's why the league is king.
You go work at Hertz. Some running backs, too.
And on that, we'll see you next time. Rest in peace, OJ.
Still alive, by the way.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.